Grace Under Fire, and I trust that you've been able to gain something from these last few weeks, speaking about God's grace, and isn't he good to us? And hopefully this series has caused you to reflect on ways God has been faithful in each and every one of your lives. We have mentioned that God's grace is often shown in the midst of fire, and that we're currently experiencing, and how he's shaping and molding us through any type of circumstances that we may be going through. We have noticed that God's grace is always with us, and his grace sustains us. So let me ask this. Have you ever experienced doubt? I would say every one of us here, it's a part of our natural human state. As human beings, we face doubts. And this morning, we're looking at Abraham, a man of faith in the Old Testament who understood that well. His wife Sarah is who we are going to be really focusing on this week. And what happens when God's grace shows up in a way that proves himself faithful? Faithful every time. Proving to us he's an on-time God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know that we have doubts and fears, and help us replace those things with your grace and your peace and your understanding. Help us to remember all the ways and all the times your grace has been evident in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray for strength this morning in sharing your word. In the name I pray, amen. So as I said, today we're closing out this series, and so in that God's grace steadies and calms us. And what do I mean by this? Essentially, we as human beings have a tendency to doubt God for a number of reasons. And when this doubt slips in, everything else within our lives starts to get a little bit chaotic. Some may even say that our doubt leads to fear, and we know that fear is just the opposite of what faith is. So today we're going to be talking about peace God's grace brings into our lives through his everlasting love and faithfulness. So I'm quite sure that each and every one of God's children have experienced God's grace that gave you peace that passed all understanding. Even though you may have been going through a difficult time, Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God's grace brings us peace. God's peace guards our hearts and our minds so we follow Jesus and trust him through every trial that we face. If you will, turn to your Bibles or look up on the screen or your tablet. Turn to Genesis 18, 9 through 15. We're going to start here, but we're going to progressively go back in time in this story as we look into the story of Abraham and specifically Sarah, all right? And we read in the ninth verse there, it says, "They said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'She is in the tent.' The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Adam and Sarah, I had to be careful when I was writing. I said Adam, and I knew I was going to say it. Abraham and Sarah. I knew I all right. Abraham and Sarah, not Adam and Sarah, but they are both married, all right. God makes a promise to both Sarah and Abraham that even at their own age, they found unbelievable. How would he grant them a son? And just like our reaction would have been, Sarah has a hard time believing it. The Bible says, upon hearing the promise, Sarah, in verse 15, says, starts laughing. She says, she's, and then she gets caught. Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid, he said, but no, but you did laugh. You did laugh, Sarah. I mean, have you ever... have your kids, you know, you're trying to say something and they lie to you? And they lie to you? And they lie to you? And you're like, no, you did do that. You did that. I went from preaching to meddling. By human standards, biological standards, you know, Sarah is old. And there's just no way, humanly, biologically, that this could happen. She's justified in saying, me? Have a baby? No way. You must be kidding. How many times, how many of you know that God is able to work miracles to accomplish his purpose? I've seen it. And I imagine that each and every one of you have gone through a circumstance where you thought it was totally impossible. God shows up and says, let me show you how I roll. You know what I mean? God works miracles in the story, and we focus so much on the method. If we do that, we miss the miracle. So in our own lives, in our own stories, from Sarah's story, this is the question I want us to wrestle with this morning. What happens when God's grace shows up to steady us in the midst of our doubts and our chaos? What happens when he makes otherwise the impossible things possible? First of all, the first thing is we don't expect it. It's no secret. It's no secret in the story, the promise that God had caught Sarah a little off guard. I mean, she's actually laughs out loud, right? LOL. Because this promise that God is making is so outlandish. There's just no way something can happen here. Similarly, when God shows up in our stories, it sometimes catches us off guard and may lead us into a position of doubt. Like, are you sure, God? I just really don't know about this. Are you sure? I'm not thinking that can happen. Not today, not tomorrow. And thing is, this isn't merely an Old Testament occurrence. Remember the story in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, when Jesus rises Lazarus from the dead? Remember that? When Mary says in John 11:32, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And it's only two verses beyond that we all know the shortest verse in the Bible, right? Right? Jesus wept, right? You see, Mary and the folks there around that tomb, they continued to protest that even when Jesus said, hey, Jesus, he's dead. He's been in there for 4 days. He stinketh thou. There's no way in 4 days you're gonna roll that stone to the side and walk in there and tell Lazarus to rise up and walk. But that's indeed what happened. They rolled the stone away. And Jesus said, hey, Lazarus, get up. Take off those grave clothes. He gets up and walks out the tomb. I think for me, from that standpoint, if I see Jesus walk in, you would think that after seeing a miracle like that, you know, everybody's seen Lazarus in that grave for 4 days, and he gets in there and he says, Lazarus, get up and walk. And he gets up and walks out of there. Would you not be a believer? Would you ever have a doubt one in the capabilities and what our God, our Jesus, can do? And maybe because of that signature sin in your life that no one else knows about, you have had a tough time these last few weeks when we talk about God's grace. We can't reconcile how His grace would want to be near you, be with you, or to even remain in you, remain sufficient to sustain you. And so today, naturally, you are having some trouble believing that His grace would be able to steady you in the midst of your doubts and your fears and through the fire. If that's you, I want to encourage you with the next point, the next thing we do when God's grace shows up, we build altars to remember. Build altars to remember. Doubt slips in when we begin to question God's ability to deliver us through and in our circumstances. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe it's you right now as you face a situation on your job. Maybe it originates from your prayers for a restored marriage. You have prayed with seemingly no results. Father, please, will you please show up? Regardless, God's grace is given to steady us, even when things seem to be out of control and we lose hope. In the Old Testament, people like you and me experienced doubt. However, they took a step to help this doubt. They, including Abraham, built altars. Turn with me just a few chapters back in Genesis, and we begin this Abraham story in Genesis 12:1. In Genesis 12:1, it says, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of More. At the same time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Did you catch that last part? Abraham built an altar after the Lord had appeared to him. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, Abram took this specific step so that others, maybe mainly himself, could remember that this place is where God indeed showed up in his life. What are those places in your life, in your story? I believe those places, those moments in time will allow us to experience God's grace in hardships. I'm quite sure that each and every one of you have experienced a time where God really showed up for you and how that made you feel. Just think about that. When God showed up, and you know that the only way things are happening in a positive way is because that he showed up when he did. That he gets all the glory. It's when we remember God's goodness and grace in the past that we have reason to believe they can once again experience in even in our present season that we're in. So, that altar, just remember the last time God showed up in a real, genuine way. I have many of them. And doing this, I'm like, I almost want to make an actual altar, if you will, or a reminder when I get into a situation or a season where I don't want to say that I doubt God, because I don't doubt him. I don't. But to have reminders of where he's been in my life, whether it's been a time when Nora and I, we were praying for our daughter who was estranged to us for some 8 years, just wondering if she would ever show back up in our lives. And then all of a sudden getting a phone call, and it's a longer story, I'm telling you, but all of a sudden I get a phone call from her. How he showed up in a big way. The altar in God showed that he hadn't forgot about Nora and I. Much like Nora and I, when we came to Palmer, God told us, hey, pick up all your stuff. And the thing about it is, I remember doing this story, Bible study when I first got to Fairhill up in Fairbanks. It was on Abram and how obedient he was. Did you notice that Abram, he didn't say, hey, wait a minute, let me take a minute. Let me talk this over with Sarai and see if this is going to work for us. And I'll get back with you, God. Nowhere in there do you see him. There's no conversation like that. Abram had no doubt. He just said, okay, baby. Well, he didn't say it like that. Okay. Sarai, come on, girl. We're picking up all of our stuff. Lot, bring your stuff too. And we're moving. Where are we going? I don't know, but God does. And I have no doubt he will show us where we're supposed to be. If only we can have that same mindset when we're going through stuff. I believe that the altars of remembrance are a key component. They were a key component in Abraham's life and his story. They helped him get from a place, from one place to another, having that faith, which we see mentioned in the New Testament. It's in that Hebrews 11:8. But by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. The question, once again, for us is simple. What altars can you build right now in this current season? I'm going to stop. Right now, just think. What altar could you build right now? You got it? Maybe this is a season where God's grace is showing up in the midst of that signature sin of yours. Maybe this is a season where God's grace is showing up in the middle of a family split. Maybe it's a season where God's grace is showing up after the loss of your job or the loss of a loved one. Even when hardship hits, we can choose to build an altar, remembering that God is always there, regardless of what's going on. And when we think back and remember what God did, we give him the glory for doing the things that we couldn't do on our own. When we do that, we give God glory. The Bible teaches us to give God glory when we experience his steady grace. So let's see how this birth narrative regarding Sarah and Abraham promised son concludes. In the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 7, it reads, let me be there. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was eight days old. And God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. 100 years old. As Sarah said. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Isaac's name, you know what Isaac means? Isaac, do you know what your name means? I know. Laughter. That's what the name Isaac, that's what it meant back in the old day, all right? I don't know what it means now. Isaac is finally born to Sarah and Abraham in their old age. God keeps his promise to them. You see, in verse 6, there's a key as it shows us exactly who gets the glory of this birth. Sarah says, God has brought. Nothing that Abraham and I did is what God has brought. And after laughing in response to God's promise, after a period of disbelief regarding this promise, finally sees for herself God's promise in her arms. In fact, she gets to hold that promise. Her response teaches us who to give the glory to. I hope that we would never forget that we would give him the glory. When things turn to the positive, that we say, oh, hang on a minute. Let me give him the glory. Thank you for this job. Oh, thank you for turning my finances around. Oh, thank you, Father, for restoring what needed to be to replenish the storehouse in our food pantry. Give him the glory. Your money could run out, but never him. God's grace shows up in a real way for Sarah. She'll never be the same again, just as we should never be the same ourselves. Once we've experienced God's grace like that, we should never be like we were yesterday. God just showed up in a big way. This is what God's grace does. It steadies us in the midst of our doubts and unbelief. It completely transforms us from who we were to who we are now. Have you experienced that kind of breakthrough? I pray that you have. Have you witnessed God's grace in a personal way? I know that I have. I pray that you have too. Give God the glory. Give God the glory in everything. Give God the glory the first thing when you wake up in the morning and you draw that first breath of air that you notice because he kept it going while you were asleep. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. I give you the glory that this morning, not all of you are there. Some of you are in your homes and you saw that the sunrise this morning. Both DJ and I were taking pictures of it. It was just, did some of you wake up and see that? Some of you are saying yes. All right. Now my question is, did you give him the glory for that? To God give the glory, great things he hath done. That was something else this morning. Come on. This morning, if you're here today and you've yet to experience personally, if you've not personally experienced his grace, I'd invite you to be able to experience it today. You're like saying, "I, Pastor Jay, I don't, I've just never felt that before." And maybe the reason why you haven't felt that before is you've never been connected to him. If you're not connected to the source, the power, you're worthless. But when you're connected, but when you're connected to his love and his mercy and his grace, he will provide the wind under your wings that will allow you to soar like eagles. We've talked a lot, an awful lot about the grace of God and how it is with us, for us, and how it sustains us today. We see how God's grace that brings us peace in the midst of fear and doubt. It is by his grace we are saved through faith. You've got to believe it. You have got to believe it. Because if you don't have faith in him, it's all for naught. I remember when I was doing this Bible study on Abram. And it was a time when there was no youth leader at Fairhill Community Church of God. And I was kind of new there, and I'm like, how come there's no youth pastor here? You need a youth pastor. And then one of the people in the study said, "Well, why don't you be the youth pastor?" I'm like, "Oh no, not me. Not this jarhead." not this tainted gunny who had been living a life out of control. It was like a 4-week series, Bible study, 5 weeks. And the thing that I gleaned from that was the obedience of Abram and how he just went. And God supplied everything that he ever needed. Then I just remember after that Bible study, I went up to the pastor there. I said, "Hey, I think I'm supposed to be the youth pastor." 4 students he gave me because he knew that's all I could handle. And I had doubt. I'm like, "Are you sure, God, I'm supposed to be doing this? I have no formal training. All I have is just life." But I also had dedication and commitment to the youth that I was raising, that I was speaking into. This morning, one of my walking altars moved in this morning. And Melody, I can't tell you how much you being here this morning means to me. Having you being here erases any type of doubt that I would have ever had about being an instrument of His. And seeing the fruit of the labor that I had poured into every single youth. Now, granted, not all of them are walking with Him now. I get that, but I haven't given up praying for them. But I have no doubt that if God used me back then, that maybe He can use me now. And He can use you too. Father, this morning, I am in awe of You. How You have supplied every need. How You stepped in and said, "JR, those thoughts, they're not my thoughts. Father, I pray that for those who don't know You, who are not in a relationship with You, that this morning they would say, "I want a relationship with You. I want to worship the same God that Abraham did, the same God that Sarah did, the same God that the disciples followed, and have a life brand new." And Father, I know that there will be doubts. I mean, there will be challenges. But I pray that those challenges would be met with Your ever-loving grace. Grace. Your sustaining grace. May we all walk it and live it. In Your name I pray. Amen.